Mini-episode 1029 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 1029. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Better Call Saul episode 4.6. Here's our top five developments coming out of episode 4.5. Number 5, Nacho continues his recovery off screen. Almost all of the Breaking Bad type action of this season has revolved around Nacho, so his absence was certainly felt. There are a lot of people who watch this show, frankly, for the cartel and other elements that evoke Breaking Bad, and they're probably not enjoying this season very much. We thought that episode 4.4 was setting up the big action to come in the second half of the season, and it still hasn't started. Gus has indicated that he has continuing plans for Nacho, so we'll see that start to play out sometime, the sooner the better. Number 4, we got an early view of how Gus will come to view Walter White in the form of both engineers. The overconfident Frenchman was kind of like Heisenberg in his boundless self-regard, while the humble German was more like the early model Walter, who was once engaged in mutual respect with Gus, bonding over their shared carefulness. Gustavo Fring respects humility and hard work, which also explains why he loved Mike so much up to the very end. Number 3. While Mike's not doing any wet work yet for Gus, we already see him in the role of Gus's chief functionary. When Gale made his cameo a few weeks back, we could tell that Gus was already planning his super lab of the future, but given the fact that Walt won't be operating it for at least another half decade on the show's timeline, we didn't think we'd be seeing the laundry this soon. Wrong. Mike has already demonstrated his expertise with logistics, so Gus entrusted him to get the engineers out to the site discreetly. Mike still has further to go psychologically before he's a full-fledged gun for hire, but he's got the consigliere stuff down pat already. Number 2. Kim's midlife crisis threatens to upend her lucrative main gig. Kim's exploration of public defender work this past week wasn't just a tease, it's something that she jumped into head first. As we said previously, it makes perfect sense. She craves control in her professional work, and that's about all that she's got right now, since she feels Jimmy slipping away by the day, and she's still got some of her own psychological scarring about Chuck's death and her own near death. But it quickly became clear how her split attention could hurt her with Mesa Verde, and while she gave the obligatory apology when she got called on the carpet, it's clear that she's going to keep trying to nourish her soul with her perception of do-gooder work. Ironically, the Mesa Verde account that put the biggest wedge between Jimmy and Chuck is on the verge of being forfeited to somebody else, as Kim's focus on her main source of income wanes. Number 1. Jimmy seeing Howard and reconsidering therapy seems to be yet another significant milestone on the road to becoming Saul. Episode 4.5 was bookended with the flash forward to the end of the Saul Goodman journey, and Jimmy's forecast at the end about becoming Saul by weaving his renewed interest in criminality into a renewed law practice. In between, his momentary loss of confidence in his powers of shadiness almost caused him to take Kim's advice and pursue therapy. This will go down as yet another fascinating what-if in the life of Jimmy McGill. If a professional had the chance to get inside of his head and get him to take inventory of his life, we'd never get the chance to see Saul Goodman. But since this is a prequel, there's no way it was going to go that way, and Howard proved to be a fine plot device, startling Jimmy by melting under the burdens of grief and guilt, all the while employing the services of a psychiatrist. It's ironic that we see the end of Saul's journey right at a time when the end of Jimmy's seems nowhere in sight. We're into season 4 already, and it's still 2003 when the show began in 2002, and Breaking Bad begins in 2008. Surely nobody could have forecast a pace this leisurely. Hopefully, we start working our way into a good solid half-decade of Saul Goodman on the show's timeline sooner rather than later, because this season has moved at a very deliberate pace up to the halfway point. It'll be worth it if we see major developments in the second half that have been set up by what we've seen, but it's no longer possible to take that for granted. We've been teased enough. It's time for the writers to do what the title says. They better call Saul. Thank you for joining us for this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.